A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's not the usual. Is Wikipedia biased question? He's describing something more specific, a personal journey. He was a Wikipedia defender for years. The classic digital native position. It's about as authoritative as we can get in the online world. Good enough baseline. Follow the citations to primary sources when it matters. But over the last few years, that faith has eroded, specifically around articles about Israel and Zionism. He's seen what he calls transparently anti-Israel, a factual content, and the problem isn't just the bias itself, it's that the editorial system has no real accountability. Rogue editors can impose arbitrary standards because nobody above them is holding them to account. And here's the twist. As his trust in Wikipedia collapsed, his trust in AI systems rose. He now considers AI a more reliable source, less tainted by bias. Which is a pretty remarkable inversion, given where both of these technologies stood even 3 years ago.
It really is. And the timing, we're at Wikipedia's 25th anniversary, a quarter century of the encyclopedia anyone can edit, and the platform is facing what I'd argue is its most serious credibility challenge yet. Not because people are suddenly discovering it has flaws, that conversation is as old as Wikipedia itself, but because the nature of the complaint has shifted. It's no longer Wikipedia isn't rigorous enough for academic citation. That debate's been settled. This is something deeper. It's the claim that entire topic areas have been structurally captured. That the governance model itself produces systematic distortion rather than simply permitting occasional error.
What makes this prompt different, and I've read plenty of Wikipedia bias complaints, is that he's not cherry-picking one bad article. He's making a structural argument. If one entire topic area is compromised, he says, it's impossible to accept the encyclopedia as a whole. The well is poisoned. That's an epistemic argument about trust in institutions.
And the counterintuitive part, the part worth digging into, is where he's moved his trust. Large language models. The things that 3 years ago everyone was warning would hallucinate facts and shouldn't be trusted for anything important. He's saying those systems are now more reliable than Wikipedia on contested topics. That's either a massive indictment of Wikipedia or a massive overcorrection in his own information diet.
Possibly both is usually where the truth lives. But before we get to the AI comparison, I want to sit with the Wikipedia part. The Israel-Palestine topic area has been under what they call discretionary sanctions since 2008. That's the longest-running restriction of its kind on the entire platform. 17 years of special rules because the normal governance mechanisms can't handle the editing wars. That alone tells you something is structurally different about this topic.
And the scale is staggering. The Wikipedia article on the Israel-Hamas war, just that single article, received over 12,000 edits between October 2023 and June 2024. That's not a collaborative editing process. That's a battlefield. And a 2024 study by the Wikimedia Foundation itself found that 1% of editors make 77% of edits on politically contested topics. So you don't have a broad community arriving at consensus. You have a tiny, highly motivated group dominating the narrative through sheer persistence.
1% of editors doing 77% of the work. That's not crowdsourcing. That's a priesthood with extra steps.
That's exactly what it is. And the question is whether that priesthood is accountable to anything beyond its own internal dynamics. Daniel's prompt uses the phrase, rogue editors can enforce arbitrary editorial standards because nobody at Wikipedia or above them is holding them to account. That's a specific claim about governance failure. And it's worth walking through the actual mechanisms, because most people don't understand how Wikipedia's dispute resolution works or doesn't work.
Let's do that. But first, let me name something lurking behind this whole discussion. Wikipedia occupied a genuinely unusual position in the information ecosystem for about 2 decades. It was the one place where people across the political spectrum could roughly agree on a baseline of facts, but it functioned as a kind of neutral ground. You'd see someone make a wild claim on social media, and the response was, "Go read the Wikipedia article." That was the rhetorical move. Wikipedia as the grown-up in the room. And what Daniel is describing is the collapse of that function, at least for him. The neutral ground isn't neutral anymore. And if Wikipedia can't play that role, what does?
That's the question, and it connects to something I've been tracking in the literature. There's a concept called epistemic trust. It's not just whether a source is factually accurate in any given instance, but whether you trust the process that produces it. Whether you believe the institution is designed to converge on truth over time. Daniel is saying his epistemic trust in Wikipedia has collapsed because he's seen the process fail systematically in one domain, and that failure contaminates his trust in the whole enterprise. It's not. Wikipedia is wrong about Israel. It's Wikipedia's governance model cannot prevent capture by motivated actors, and therefore I cannot trust it on any topic where motivated actors might operate. Which is most topics that matter.
That's the structural argument. And it's hard to dismiss. If the model only works for uncontroversial topics, here's the chemical structure of caffeine, here's the population of Bolivia, but breaks down whenever something is politically charged, then it's not really an encyclopedia. It's a database of things nobody cares enough to fight about.
They'll say Wikipedia is great for science articles and pop culture. Just be careful with current events and politics. But that's conceding the entire point. The topics where accuracy matters most, where misinformation has real consequences, are precisely the topics where the model fails.
There's a phrase I've been turning over. The amateur editor problem. Wikipedia was founded on the idea that volunteers, enthusiasts, people who care about a topic, could collectively produce something approaching the quality of expert-reviewed work. And for certain kinds of knowledge, that bet paid off. The article on the Krebs cycle is probably excellent. But the model assumes good faith. It assumes that people editing the article on Zionism are there because they want to accurately represent the history and diverse perspectives. What happens when they're there because they want to win?
That's the capture problem, and it's not theoretical. The Wikipedia Arbitration Committee, the highest dispute resolution body on the platform, has handled 14 cases related to the Israel-Palestine topic area between 2020 and 2025. The most recent major case, Palestine-Israel Articles 4 in 2024, resulted in topic bans for 14 editors, but topic bans remove individual editors. They don't fix the structural vulnerability. New editors arrive, or banned editors return under new accounts, and the same dynamics reassert themselves.
It's whack-a-mole with a governance system that wasn't designed for organized, persistent advocacy. It was designed for the occasional crank who won't stop adding unsourced claims about their hometown. The tools don't match the threat.
And this connects to something crucial in Daniel's prompt. He says the cause seems to be the proliferation of amateur editors, often who have a bias, and a system that lacks any reviewer or accountability. That second part, the lack of accountability, is the governance failure. Wikipedia doesn't have an editorial board. It doesn't have professional staff reviewing content for accuracy and balance. The arbitration committee is a group of volunteers elected by the community. They can ban users, lock articles, impose discretionary sanctions. But they cannot say this article is biased and needs to be rewritten from a neutral perspective. That's not a power they have.
Even if they had that power, who decides what neutral means on a topic where the very framework of neutrality is contested? The Israeli narrative and the Palestinian narrative don't just disagree on facts. They disagree on which facts are relevant, which historical starting points are legitimate, which terminology is neutral. Occupied territories versus disputed territories, security barrier versus apartheid wall. Every word choice is a political statement. Wikipedia's neutral point of view policy, NPOV, is supposed to resolve this by representing all significant viewpoints fairly. But in practice, what often emerges is a single synthesized narrative that claims neutrality while actually favoring whichever faction is more organized and persistent.
This is the misconception about NPOV that I really want to bust. People assume NPOV means the article will be neutral. That's not what the policy actually produces. What NPOV produces is a single narrative that incorporates multiple viewpoints. But the weighting, the framing, the selection of which viewpoints to include, the decision about what counts as a significant viewpoint, all of that is determined through the editing process. And if one faction has more editors, more time, more familiarity with Wikipedia's arcane policies, they will shape that narrative. Not through conspiracy, through the ordinary operation of the system.
It's the musical equivalent of beige wallpaper that was actually selected by the loudest person in the room.
The loudest person in the room on Wikipedia isn't necessarily the one with the best arguments. It's the one with the most endurance. Wikipedia editing is a war of attrition. You can be right about the facts and still lose if you can't sustain the time commitment required to defend every sentence against constant reverts, talk page arguments, and dispute resolution filings. Most people with actual subject matter expertise, historians, political scientists, area specialists, have jobs. They can't spend 40 hours a week in an edit war. But a motivated activist can.
The system selects for the people with the most free time and the strongest opinions, which is not quite the same thing as selecting for expertise and judgment.
It's the opposite, and I want to bring in a concrete example. The Wikipedia article, Status of Jerusalem, has been edited over 5,000 times. It remains under discretionary sanctions to this day. The article is about 8,000 words long with over 200 citations. It looks authoritative. It looks comprehensive. But critics argue, and I've read through the talk page archives, that the framing consistently privileges one narrative over the other, not through overt falsehoods, but through structural choices. Which historical events are included? Which UN resolutions are quoted at length and which are summarized in a sentence? Which legal interpretations are presented as mainstream and which as disputed?
The casual reader has no way of knowing any of this. They see a long article with 200 footnotes and think, well, this is thoroughly researched. The length and citation density become proxies for reliability when they might actually be artifacts of conflict. The article is long because people fought over every sentence, not because the topic requires 8,000 words of explanation.
That's a brilliant point. The very features that signal reliability, length, citation density, detailed sourcing, can be produced by edit wars rather than by careful scholarship. It's the encyclopedia equivalent of a legal brief that's long because one side is throwing in every argument they can think of in hopes something sticks. The reader can't tell the difference.
We've established that Wikipedia has a structural vulnerability to capture on politically contested topics, that the Israel-Palestine area is the most intensely contested topic on the platform, and that the governance mechanisms are fundamentally reactive. They remove bad actors after the damage is done, but can't prevent the damage or fix the underlying narrative distortion. Is that a fair summary?
I think so. And I want to add one more piece. The Wikimedia Foundation's own research acknowledges this problem. That 2024 study about 1% of editors making 77% of edits on contested topics, that wasn't leaked by critics. That was published by the Foundation itself. They know the model is vulnerable. The question is whether it's fixable within the current governance structure. The entire philosophy of Wikipedia is built on openness, volunteerism, and decentralized decision-making. Those are features, not bugs, for most of what Wikipedia does. But they become bugs when the topic is high stakes and the participants are highly motivated.
That's the Wikipedia side, a governance model that works beautifully for articles about chemistry and starts to break down when the topic is politically charged, with Israel-Palestine as the most extreme case study. And this brings us to the second half of Daniel's prompt, the part that's surprising. His trust hasn't just collapsed, it's migrated. He now considers AI systems more reliable than Wikipedia on these topics, and I had to sit with that for a minute. Because my instinct, and I think the instinct of most people who've been paying attention, is that language models are the less reliable source. They're trained on internet data that includes all the same biases we're talking about. How do you go from Wikipedia is structurally biased to therefore I trust the chatbot?
It seems like jumping from the frying pan into a different frying pan that might also be on fire. But I think there's actually a coherent argument here. The key is something Daniel mentions, grounding. AI systems have improved dramatically in their ability to cite sources, to ground their claims in retrievable documents, and to acknowledge uncertainty. GPT-5, released in March of this year, and Claude 4, released in January, both incorporate real-time web search with source citation. They don't just generate text from their training data anymore. They can retrieve, cite, and synthesize information from the open web in real time. That changes the reliability equation substantially.
The AI isn't just regurgitating its training data. It's acting more like a research assistant that can read sources and tell you where it got things. Which is, ironically, closer to the original vision of what Wikipedia was supposed to be. A starting point that points you to primary sources than Wikipedia itself currently functions.
That's the irony. And there's a deeper point about the nature of bias in these two systems. Wikipedia's bias is structural and persistent. The same editors, the same processes, the same capture dynamics year after year. AI bias is more tractable. Through fine-tuning, through reinforcement learning from human feedback, through retrieval augmented generation, you can correct for specific biases in specific domains. You can say, on this topic, present multiple perspectives explicitly, or flag that there is significant disagreement among reliable sources. Wikipedia can't do that. Wikipedia's NPOV policy requires synthesizing a single narrative. An AI can be instructed to say, here are three different frameworks for understanding this issue, and here's who holds each one.
That's an important distinction. Wikipedia is constrained by its own format to produce a single article that claims neutrality. The AI can produce a meta-analysis that acknowledges its own limitations. It can say, I'm about to tell you something that is contested, and here's who contests it. That's a different kind of intellectual honesty.
It maps onto what Daniel is getting at when he says he finds AI less tainted by bias. He's not saying AI is unbiased, he's saying the bias is more transparent, more correctable, and less baked into the institutional structure. With Wikipedia, the bias is embedded in a process that claims to be neutral. The very claim of neutrality becomes part of the problem because it obscures the editorial choices that produce the article. With an AI, you know you're talking to a system trained on biased data and aligned in specific ways. The framing is inherently more honest.
There's also a practical dimension. When Daniel encounters what he considers a biased Wikipedia article, what can he do? He could try to edit it. But that requires enormous time investment, familiarity with Wikipedia's Byzantine policies, and a willingness to engage in months-long edit wars. Most people, including most subject matter experts, are not going to do that. When he encounters a biased AI response, he can prompt it differently. He can say, give me the Israeli perspective on this. Or, what are the main points of disagreement among historians on this question? The barrier to getting multiple perspectives is dramatically lower.
That's the user empowerment angle. But I want to push back on something. AI systems are trained on Wikipedia data. A significant portion of the training corpus comes from Wikipedia. So if Wikipedia has structural bias on Israel-Palestine topics, that bias is in the training data. The AI inherits it. The question is whether post-training alignment can correct for it, and I think the evidence is mixed.
That's the obvious objection. Garbage in, garbage out. If the training data is Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is biased, then the AI is biased. How do you escape that?
You don't fully escape it, but you can mitigate it in ways Wikipedia structurally can't. Here's the technical distinction. Wikipedia produces a single article through a decentralized editing process that converges on one text. The AI's training process produces a distribution of possible responses, and then alignment techniques shape which responses are actually generated. So you can have a training corpus that includes Wikipedia's biased article on Jerusalem, but you can also include academic sources, news articles from multiple perspectives, primary documents, and direct statements from all parties. And you can fine-tune the model to weigh those sources differently than Wikipedia's editing process weighs them.
The AI isn't limited to Wikipedia synthesis. It can draw on a much wider range of sources and be explicitly instructed to balance them. Wikipedia's article on Jerusalem is the product of a specific editing process that selected and weighted sources in a particular way. The AI can in principle say, I've read the Wikipedia article, and I've also read these 20 academic papers, these UN resolutions, these statements from the Israeli government and the Palestinian Authority, and here's a synthesis that doesn't default to any single narrative framework.
In principle, yes. In practice, it depends on the specific AI system and how it's been aligned. But that's actually the point. It depends on choices that can be examined, critiqued, and changed. Wikipedia's bias is a product of its governance structure, which is extraordinarily difficult to reform. AI bias is a product of training data and alignment choices, which can be audited and adjusted, not easily, not perfectly, but more tractably.
There's an irony here I can't let pass. For years, the knock on AI systems was that they were black boxes. You couldn't understand why they produced the outputs they did. Wikipedia, by contrast, was the transparent system. Every edit is logged. Every top page discussion is public. You can see exactly who changed what and when. And yet Daniel's experience is that the transparent system produced opaque bias, while the supposedly opaque system produces more transparently balanced outputs. The visibility of the process didn't guarantee the reliability of the product.
That's the accountability paradox. Wikipedia has process transparency but not outcome accountability. You can see every edit, but there's no mechanism to say the cumulative result of these edits is a biased article and it needs to be fixed. The AI has less process transparency. You can't see the training data or the model weights, but arguably more outcome accountability. Because you can test it repeatedly with different prompts and compare its responses against primary sources. And if it fails, you can report that to the company that made it, and they might actually fix it in the next update. There's no equivalent fix mechanism for a captured Wikipedia article.
We have two very different models of information production. Wikipedia, open process, decentralized governance, single synthesized output, structural vulnerability to capture, very difficult to reform. AI, opaque training process, centralized governance, flexible output that can present multiple perspectives, bias correctable through alignment, accountable to a company that can actually make changes. And Daniel is saying that, on net, the second model is producing more trustworthy results for him on the topics he cares about. That's a remarkable shift.
And I want to be careful here, because I'm not saying AI systems are universally more reliable than Wikipedia. For most topics, Wikipedia is still excellent. The article on the Krebs cycle is almost certainly better than what you'd get from asking Claude or GPT. But for politically contested topics, the topics where accuracy matters most and where Wikipedia's governance model is weakest, the AI comparison is interesting. Daniel's experience might be a leading indicator of a broader shift.
Let's talk about that broader shift. We're moving from an era where institutions were the arbiters of truth, encyclopedias, newspapers, academic journals, to an era where individuals have to assemble their own information triage systems. You can't just default to, I trust the New York Times, or I trust Wikipedia. You have to actively curate. And that's exhausting. Most people don't want to be information scientists. They want to look something up and get a basically reliable answer.
That's the promise that both Wikipedia and AI make. We'll do the curation for you. We'll synthesize the sources. You just read. The question is, which system does that synthesis more reliably, more transparently, and with more accountability when it gets things wrong? I think what Daniel is saying is that AI is winning on those metrics, at least for the topics he cares about. That doesn't mean AI is winning for everyone or on every topic, but it's a data point worth taking seriously.
We should also acknowledge the obvious counterargument. AI systems have their own biases, and those biases might align with Daniel's pre-existing views in ways that make the AI feel more trustworthy, when it's really just confirming what he already believes. If I'm pro-Israel, and the AI gives me responses that align with a pro-Israel perspective, I might perceive that as less biased, when it's actually just biased in my direction.
That's a real concern, and the honest answer is that we don't have good data on this yet. We don't know whether AI systems on Israel-Palestine are actually more balanced than Wikipedia, or whether they're just biased in different ways that happen to feel more balanced to certain users. What we can say is that the mechanism for correcting bias is more tractable in AI systems than in Wikipedia, and that over time, as alignment techniques improve, that advantage should compound.
The structural argument doesn't depend on AI being perfect today. It depends on AI being improvable in ways that Wikipedia structurally can't match. Wikipedia's governance model is what it is. It's not going to add an editorial board. It's not going to hire professional fact-checkers for contested topics. The whole philosophy of the project precludes those solutions. AI companies, by contrast, are actively investing in improving accuracy, reducing bias, and adding source citation. The trajectory matters.
And the trajectory for Wikipedia on the most contested topics is not encouraging. The arbitration committee cases keep coming. The topic bans keep being issued. But the underlying articles don't get fundamentally rewritten. The capture persists. The discretionary sanctions that have been in place since 2008 are still there. 17 years of special rules, and the problem hasn't been solved. That's not a system that's converging on truth. That's a system that's managing a chronic condition.
Managing a chronic condition is generous. A less generous description would be permanently failing in a way that everyone has learned to live with.
That's fair. And I think that's what Daniel is reacting to. He's not saying Wikipedia is worthless. He's saying it's failed on the topic that matters most to him, and that failure has destroyed his trust in the platform as a whole. Once you've seen how the sausage is made on one topic, you can't unsee it. You start wondering what other topics have similar dynamics that you just haven't noticed because you're not an expert in those areas.
That's the contamination problem. Trust is holistic. You don't trust Wikipedia article by article, checking each one for bias before you believe it. You develop a general posture of trust or distrust based on your experiences, and a single vivid experience of systematic failure can shift that posture permanently. Daniel's experience with the Israel-related articles has contaminated his trust in the entire encyclopedia. That's not irrational. That's Bayesian updating.
And it explains why this issue matters far beyond Israel-Palestine. If Wikipedia's governance model fails on the most intensely contested topics, and if those failures contaminate trust in the platform as a whole, then Wikipedia's value proposition, the encyclopedia anyone can edit, and you can mostly trust it, starts to unravel. Not because most articles are bad, most articles are fine. But because the trust that holds the whole enterprise together is fragile, and it breaks at the points of maximum pressure.
Those points of maximum pressure are exactly where reliable information matters most. Nobody's life is affected by whether the Wikipedia article on the Krebs cycle has a subtle bias, but people's understanding of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and their political decisions based on that understanding absolutely is affected by whether the article on Zionism is balanced or captured. The stakes are highest precisely where the model is weakest. That's the tragedy of the whole thing.
It's the Wikipedia paradox. The platform works beautifully for low-stakes, uncontroversial topics. But the entire purpose of an encyclopedia, the reason we care about having one, is to provide reliable information on topics that matter. Topics that are contested. Topics where misinformation has consequences. If the model only works when nobody cares enough to fight, then it's not really fulfilling its mission.
That brings us to the practical question. What do you do if you're a person who just wants to understand a contested topic? Daniel has made his choice. He's moved to AI systems as his primary reference, with Wikipedia demoted. He doesn't say he's abandoned it entirely. He says his faith has been degraded. So what's the information strategy for a person in that position?
The short version is, Wikipedia as a citation aggregator, not an authority. Follow the footnotes to primary sources. Use AI systems to get multiple perspectives and synthesize across them. Verify claims against primary sources regardless of where you heard them. It's more work than just reading the Wikipedia article and calling it a day. But that's the cost of epistemic responsibility in a world where institutions can't be fully trusted.
There's a phrase that should be on a bumper sticker.
Here's the thing I keep coming back to. Most people aren't going to do that work. They're not going to cross-reference footnotes or prompt engineer multiple AI perspectives. They want an answer, and they want it in the time it takes to scroll. So the question isn't just which system is more reliable. It's which system is more reliable for the way people actually use it.
And the way people actually use Wikipedia is, they read the article, they absorb the framing, and they move on. They don't follow the footnotes. They don't check the talk page. They don't look at the edit history to see if there's been a capture campaign. The framing is the product. And if the framing is systematically skewed on a whole category of topics, then Wikipedia is, for those topics, a misinformation delivery system, dressed as an encyclopedia.
That's the core of Daniel's complaint. It's not that Wikipedia has errors. Every reference work has errors. It's that the errors aren't random. They're directional. They cluster around a specific agenda. And because Wikipedia presents itself as neutral, the whole NPOV pillar, the encyclopedia, anyone can edit, framing readers don't have their defenses up. They're not reading critically, they're trusting, and that trust is being exploited.
The real question underneath this prompt isn't, is Wikipedia biased? It's, what does it mean for information trust when a platform that built its brand on neutrality is perceived, by a growing number of people, as having abandoned that neutrality on the topics where neutrality matters most?
That's where the AI comparison gets so interesting, because AI systems don't claim to be neutral. Claude and GPT don't have a pillar that says, the model will present all viewpoints fairly and proportionately. They're explicitly positioned as assistants, not encyclopedias. They have disclaimers. They say, I may get things wrong. That epistemic humility, whether it's genuine or just good product design, creates a different trust relationship with the user.
Wikipedia's problem isn't just that it's biased. It's that it's biased while claiming to be neutral. That gap between the promise and the product is what corrodes trust. With an AI, you know you're talking to something shaped by training data and alignment decisions. You're not being told it's a pure mirror of objective reality. The lower claim to authority actually produces a more resilient trust relationship, because the system can fail without it being a betrayal.
That's a fascinating way to put it. Wikipedia fails as a betrayal of its own stated principles. AI fails as an expected limitation of a known imperfect system. Same outcome. You get questionable information on a contested topic, but very different emotional and epistemic response from the user. That gets us into the machinery of how this actually happens. When somebody hears Wikipedia is biased on Israel-Palestine, the natural reaction is to think of a few bad actors sneaking in edits. But what Daniel is describing, and what the evidence shows, is something much more structural. There are three mechanisms working together, and they compound each other.
I'm ready to be depressed.
Mechanism 1 is the amateur editor problem. Wikipedia's editing model has no subject matter expertise requirement. You don't need a degree in Middle Eastern history to edit the article on Zionism. You don't need to have read a single book on the conflict. You just need to be persistent and willing to learn the arcane rules of Wikipedia's editing interface,
which selects for people with time and motivation, not people with knowledge.
And on a topic like Israel-Palestine, the people with the most time and motivation are often activists, not scholars. A professor of Middle Eastern studies has office hours, a teaching load, research to conduct. They're not spending 6 hours a day in edit wars on the Zionism talk page. But a committed activist with a laptop and a cause? That's exactly who the system rewards.
The barrier to entry isn't expertise, it's stamina. The person who wins the edit war isn't the one who knows the most. It's the one who never logs off.
Mechanism 2 is the arbitrary enforcement problem. Wikipedia has an elaborate dispute resolution system, notice boards, mediation, the arbitration committee. But the people who work in that system are the same volunteer editors who are already active on the platform. There's no professional staff reviewing editorial decisions. There's no external accountability.
The enforcers, and the enforced upon, are drawn from the same pool.
And the rules themselves, neutral point of view, reliable sources, sound objective but require interpretation. What counts as a reliable source? Who decides whether a framing is neutral? These judgments are made by whichever editors show up and dominate the discussion. A small group of editors who share the same perspective can effectively set the editorial standards for an entire topic area, because there's nobody above them to say no, that interpretation of NPOV is wrong.
If you're a new editor with a different perspective, you get told you're violating policies you've never heard of by people who've been enforcing their interpretation for years. You burn out and leave.
Mechanism 3, capture. And this is where the numbers get stark. The Wikimedia Foundation's own study found that 1% of editors make 77% of edits on politically contested topics. On Israel-Palestine specifically, a tiny number of highly motivated editors can dominate the narrative through sheer volume and persistence.
It's not even individual actors working alone.
No, and this is the part most people don't see. Wikipedia has project pages, Wiki Project Israel, Wiki Project Palestine, where editors coordinate their editing strategies. These are public pages. You can go read them right now. Editors discuss which articles need attention, which framings need to be pushed back against, which sources need to be challenged. It's organized campaigning conducted in the open using Wikipedia's own infrastructure.
which is simultaneously transparent and completely opaque to the average reader. The coordination is visible if you know where to look, but nobody looks.
The 2024 Arbitration Committee case, Palestine-Israel Articles 4, which tells you it's the fourth time they've had to do this, resulted in topic bans for 14 editors. 14 people were found to have engaged in coordinated edit, warring tendentious editing, and battleground behavior. And the arbitration committee described the topic area as one of the most intractable and long-running areas of conflict on the English Wikipedia.
14 editors banned after the fourth arbitration case, and the discretionary sanctions have been in place since 2008. That's not a system that's fixing itself. That's a system documenting its own failure in real time.
The Israel-Hamas war article makes all of this concrete. Between October 2023 and mid-2024, that single article received over 12,000 edits. And researchers have documented patterns where edits and reversions correlate with the editor's nationality and political affiliation. You can almost predict which version of the article will be live based on what time of day it is and which time zone's editors are awake.
The sun never sets on the edit war. That's almost poetic in the most depressing way possible.
Here's the structural insight that ties all three mechanisms together. Wikipedia's governance model assumes that open participation plus clear rules will converge on neutrality over time. The idea is that biased editors will be balanced by other editors, good arguments will win over bad ones, and the article will stabilize at something approximating the truth. That's the theory.
In practice, biased editors organize. Normal people get exhausted, and the article stabilizes at whatever the most persistent faction wants it to say.
The theory only works if both sides are equally motivated and equally resourced. But on Israel-Palestine, that's not the case. The editorial factions are not symmetric in size, persistence, or coordination. And Wikipedia has no mechanism to correct for that asymmetry. The arbitration committee can ban the worst offenders, but it can't rewrite the articles. It can't say, the current version of this article has been captured by a coordinated campaign, so we're going to revert to a baseline and start over. All it can do is remove people and hope the remaining editors produce something better.
Which they don't, because the remaining editors are the ones who weren't quite bad enough to get banned, operating in a system where the norms and source standards have already been shaped by years of activist editing. You're not starting from neutral. You're starting from a captured baseline, and asking the captor's less extreme allies to be more fair.
And this connects back to trust. The reader sees a Wikipedia article with 200 citations, a long talk page, an elaborate edit history, and thinks this has been thoroughly vetted. They don't realize that the vetting process itself has been captured. The citations are real, but they've been selected to support a particular framing. The talk page is long because of years of ideological combat, not good faith collaboration. The signs of rigor are actually signs of dysfunction.
The very things that make an article look authoritative. The density of citations, the length of the talk page, the number of editors involved, are the artifacts of the capture process. It's like judging a neighborhood's safety by how many police cars you see.
That analogy makes the user's shift in trust even more striking. They say they've moved their trust from Wikipedia to AI systems. I think we need to sit with how counterintuitive that is. A probabilistic language model, a thing that literally generates text by predicting the next token, is being treated as more reliable than the largest reference work in human history. What does reliable even mean in that comparison?
It means the probabilistic language model is less likely to mislead me in a predictable direction. Reliability isn't about perfection. It's about whether the errors are random or systematic. Wikipedia's errors on Israel-Palestine are systematic. An AI might hallucinate a date or misattribute a quote, but it's not running a multi-year coordinated campaign to shape your understanding of Zionism.
The practical landscape has shifted dramatically. GPT-5 launched in March, Claude 4 in January. Both now do real-time web search with source citation. The old objection, AI will just make things up, is weaker than it was 2 years ago. These systems can retrieve, cite, and synthesize. They're not encyclopedias, but they're also not the hallucination machines of 2023.
The hallucination problem hasn't vanished. But Wikipedia's problem hasn't vanished either. And Wikipedia's problem is directional. I'll take occasional random errors over systematic framing bias every time.
Here's where the comparison gets really interesting. Wikipedia's bias is structural and persistent. Same editors, same processes, same arbitration committee that can ban people but can't rewrite articles. The system is designed to resist top.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.